Parliament and aldermen have approved a tougher stance on landlords who repeatedly violate the city's housing laws, plus new incentives for a packaging company moving into Bloomington. The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. Mayor Terry Renner, thanks for joining us again on Sound Ideas.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
The new policies approved last night by aldermen are expected to give the city's administrative court more power to fight landlords who play the system to put off fixing violations and avoid paying fines. Also singles out chronic properties with more than one violation in a single year for a stricter reinspection schedule. So what do you think of these changes?
I think these are long overdue. And this is part of our broader movement over the past 4 or 5 years or so toward trying to really clamp down for public safety and, frankly, for economic development on so-called deadbeat landlords or people who are just letting their – may not be landlords. They're just letting their properties deteriorate, and that's not helpful or safety for them or for others in the neighborhood. And certainly I had an old house years – not that many years ago, about 10 years ago. And there was an abandoned house kind of diagonally from me. And that made it very difficult to sell that property when I was trying to sell it. So there are lots of other, there are lots of reasons for why this is a good policy. The administrative court itself began in 2015. Before that, we would have filed cases in the circuit court. And we had only filed one in a decade, the previous decade before that, before 2013. So clearly, the word on the street that, you know, you can get away with anything in Bloomington may have been overstated, but not by much. We certainly had very frustrated police officers. I can tell you they took me on many tours of our own city and showed situations where you had unsafe properties, and they would write them up. They would send it to legal. Legal would send it to code enforcement, and not much would happen other than a slap on the wrist letter. And so now we haul them into administrative court. And even within administrative court, we're fine-tuning that so that we can, frankly, make sure that our community is as safe as possible and that the economic investment that people put into their homes reaches its full potential.
As part of that fine-tuning, now offending property owners who ignore compliance orders will now have to pay $110 in court costs, even if that problem is addressed before the court date. Those failing to abate will face a minimum per violation fine on top of those court costs. So last night at the council meeting, Alderman Scott Black said he wanted to go even further, be more aggressive. He still supported it. It was a unanimous vote. Did you want to go further too at all? Did you
Absolutely.
Have any – how much more aggressive would you have gone?
I'd want to be – well, again, it depends on the particular policy. I don't know about – the dollar amounts are still comparatively small, and we would have to be careful about people – let's say maybe if you've just purchased a particular property and there are code violations on that property, that's a different story if somebody's rehabbing a home as opposed to someone who's a perpetual violator. So we would have to fine-tune our ordinance to be sure that we're, in a sense, going after the right people. And we don't want to go after historic preservationists. We want to go after the people who are, frankly, slumlords in many cases. And I think that we've had a great deal of success, but we have much more to do. And this is all part also of neighborhood preservation. If we really are serious about our comp plans, our comprehensive plans attempt to infill, then we have to have strong neighborhoods inside of Bloomington. Our older neighborhoods have got to be stronger and more attractive and safer for investments. If you don't, if you don't have any confidence that your neighbor three doors down's house that's falling apart is ever going to get fixed, then you may just move, or you may decide not to fix up your property.
Was there a concern that these changes may inadvertently reduce access to low-income housing? You push a few landlords out, maybe they sit vacant for a while or get torn down. Is that a concern at all for you?
Obviously, any affordable housing generally is a very serious concern for me. But we're moving in many other ways too, and through the Bloomington Housing Authority to try to increase the number, the number of units that are affordable housing, and in economic incentives, trying to deal with potential developers for affordable housing in our community. It is a serious problem, but that doesn't mean we don't crack down on offenders. So we can do both.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner, Alderman also approved last night around $75,000 in economic incentives to help commercial packaging move into their new spot, a building on Ireland Grove Road, helping cover the cost to remove a water tower that had kind of become derelict, also offering a discount on connecting their driveway to the street out there. So what do you think of that proposal?
I think it's a very important proposal. It's important for economic redevelopment in that area, in the Wildwood area. And it's not just that particular facility, but it is, you know, that's important. And it's certainly important for public safety as well as aesthetics to get rid of this old water tower. And we also have clawback provisions. So we protected taxpayers. We protected the city. And that is, if for some reason the people don't, or the business does not live up to their responsibility, then there's that clawback for any monies that we might have rebated in terms of future revenues, future taxes. Let's be clear, this is not money that we currently have in our budget. This is based on their future investment and future revenues. And so if we can begin to change a very underperforming area and turn it into something where people are starting to invest, capital investment will attract more capital investment. And that's the case in whether it's neighborhoods or whether it's commercial development.
Well, there were some concerns from a couple of aldermen. Karen Schmidt and Johnny Painter voted against it. I think it was a 7-2 vote. Alderman Schmidt said she worried that the decision would change the city's approach to economic development to a kind of a case-by-case basis instead of some sort of solid policy that's available to all. It kind of speaks to the – it's always that tension in economic development,
right,
versus
case-by-case
versus something that's kind of standard boilerplate. So what did you think of the concerns you heard from them last night?
I think it underscores the reason why Alderman Black last week said we needed to go back and look at our economic development policy that was developed well over 7 years ago, almost 8 years ago. It is dated. We need to make it clear what we will do and the kinds of things that we won't do. But we do have – almost everything has to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis within a certain framework, because different businesses are going to need and want different things depending on what they're doing. This is not just a business that's moving in. This is a business that could easily move in and just leave this rotting water tower sitting there. We have, I think, a public interest, and they in an interest in that coincides with their private interest to get rid of that water tower.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner, last week Alderman got an update on Grossinger Motors Arena. The arena reported a loss of $665,000 for the fiscal year that ended a couple of months ago. Second year that Venue Works has been in charge since taking over from Central Illinois Arena Management. So the bigger headline, though, out of that meeting was that Venue Works told Alderman essentially that the city should expect an average of a $500,000 annual loss moving forward on the arena. So what did you think about what you heard last Monday night about the arena and its financial state?
Right. Well, there was nothing there that was terribly surprising, and I certainly appreciate their honesty. I also appreciate their transparency and openness in many ways compared to the previous managers of the Coliseum, of course. But I don't think $500,000 personally is acceptable. I think we need to come up with additional strategies, and perhaps we work with Venue Works, or when their contract is up, maybe we choose a different company. But these are the kind of calculations that we have to make. We also need to consider the fact that the arena, this is only the cost side of the ledger. The arena, Grossinger Arena, used to be called Coliseum, whatever, also brings economic benefits to the community. And we need to consider those as well. So we need to consider the entire picture as we move forward. But in terms of the operating cost, I'm not happy with a continued $500,000 deficit in the operating cost of the Coliseum. I think we can do better. I think we have to try to do better. Now, there are many who say close the Coliseum or whatever. Well, we have the Coliseum. We own it. We're going to pay over, $2 million a year on its mortgage no matter what we do. And we do not need another building that's rotting in downtown Bloomington. So we're not abandoning the Coliseum. We need to make it work, and we need to move forward. And so I think those are things that the council is unanimous on. And I think pretty much any economic development professional that's in the entire business would encourage us to move in that direction. Now, if in the end of the day it turns out that, after 5 or 10 years of experience, we find that, hey, we're going to have to live with this $500,000 deficit. OK, we will have tried, but we've got to try.
Hmm. Well, you said nothing you heard there was especially surprising, but it did seem to get the attention of at least a few aldermen and those who want to be aldermen. Amelia Burgess called it sobering, said that all options should be on the table for the arena. A candidate, Josh Barnett, who would be running in Ward 8 to possibly succeed Diana Howman, said if he's elected, he'll bring a proposal to the Committee of the Whole, directing staff to begin looking for someone to buy the arena from the city. Do you sense there's actually realistic interest on the council to sell the arena if a buyer could be found?
If a buyer could be found, depending on what they want to do with it, sure. I think that that's very unlikely, and especially a buyer who would come in and do something that was profitable, that was helpful for our downtown and for our community. That'd be, if that happened, that would be fine. I don't think, though, that's likely. Can we try? Sure. We can send out an RFP. And let's move forward, a request for proposals, I'm sorry, RFP, that's the acronym, and see what happens. But my guess is we're, for better and worse, we're in this for the long haul with the arena. And we have to do what we can to try to make it work as well as it can, to have it continue to be an asset, an economic asset in our community, as well as a serious cost.
Well, you mentioned it a few moments ago, and I'll circle back to it. The city of Bloomington has a 5-year contract with Venue Works. It's technically through 2021, although the city can exit that contract without cause after 3 years, so that would be 2019. Do you think the city should do that, find a different manager?
Well, I think the jury is still out on that. I'd like to see what happens over the next even 6 to 9 months, and then we'll take an additional assessment of that, see what additional efforts they have. I think one thing that should be explored would be centralized booking. And I mentioned that at our meeting a week ago from yesterday, and that is centralized booking with the Coliseum and the BCPA. Why do, there's some duplication there. And is there any reason why we can't centralize that or perhaps automate, much of that? And so I think those are options that we need to consider before we really make a decision on whether or not Venue Works is the long-term partner that we want to have managing the Coliseum.
Mayor Renner, thanks again for your time on Sound Ideas.
Thank you, Ryan.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after the regular and special council meetings. Next week, we'll hear from Normal Mayor Chris Coos. This is Sound Ideas on GLT.